This episode of the Wildly Balance podcast is sponsored by the How to Hire and Utilize a VA in Your Business Masterclass. Are you ready to hire a VA for your ever-growing business but not sure how? In this in-depth masterclass, I'm going to teach you everything you need to know about hiring a VA in your business. What is a VA? Where's the best place to find a VA? Why should you hire a VA? How to outsource with ease? In this 45-minute masterclass, you will walk away with a potent, juicy list of tasks that you can outsource today. How amazing is that? Get this bad boy for only $22. Visit the link in our show notes or go to carlyitaco.podia.com to learn more. That's carlyitaco, C-A-R-L-Y-I-T-A-C-O dot podia, P-O-D-I-A dot com to learn more.
Welcome to the Wildly Balanced Podcast.
Wildly Balanced is your weekly permission slip to bring more fun and wildness into your work-life balance.
Join us every week for our favorite tips on how to have more fun, shift your mindset, and let your wild side flow.
Welcome back to the Wildly Balanced Podcast. Today, we are joined with a super special guest. I think this is the first time I've had a guest that I haven't known previously, which is super exciting that we're getting that kind of outreach and stuff. There's been a couple guests that like Jill has brought on. She knew them. So this is a completely like new conversation. And I'm so excited for my new friend here. Today, I am joined with Leah Party. She is a manifestation teacher, breathwork guide, and business coach. And she hosts the Bare Naked Soul podcast. We love a fellow podcaster. And she is the author of her memoir, Confessions of an Uncaged Soul. I can't wait to dive into that because that sounds so fun. Leah here teaches you how to move through fear so you can manifest your dreamiest, juiciest, most fully expressed life. It is so good to have you here, Leah. Can you tell me and the listeners a little bit about yourself and what you're currently balancing?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me here. I'm so excited to be your first guest that is just someone totally not known to you guys, which is awesome. My life currently, I run my business full-time from home. So balance comes up right away for me because something that I struggled with at first with that was feeling really lonely. And I think a lot of people can relate to that now with the post-COVID world with working from home. So I have a Wednesday every week as a co-working day. So I get together with others who run similar businesses. And that's just been so special because it's just helped me to have that sense of community and have that sense of support. So I really need that balance in my life of alone time and time with friends and peers. Yeah, that's what I've been up to on that front. I do some in-person events here in Pittsburgh where I live. Yeah, my book came out a few months ago and that's been going really well. So yeah, I live with my husband and my dog Chip. And yeah, that's what I've been up to.
Oh my God, I love it. We post the podcast on Wednesdays. So maybe if someone's listening early enough, they can still slide into the co-working day. Do you have a link to sign up? How do we sign up?
It's actually just a few like friends of mine. It's in person. That's the key for me is I need in-person connection. Like I think virtual stuff's great. I do a lot of that too, but I like need that like physical connection in person. So these are just like a couple friends who run similar businesses.
That's even better. That's so fun. Yeah. I miss in-person stuff.
Yes.
Back in the days pre-COVID. That's so fun. It's so nice to meet you and it's so good to have you here. I want to hear more about your business as you like blend in the manifestation, the breath work, the business coach, all that good stuff. Can you tell us a little bit more about like your business and why you got into entrepreneurship?
Yeah. So I'll back it up to when I got started. So I was working in the corporate world. I was a sales manager running a sales team and had recently gotten my MBA and was just really into the whole corporate hustle thing, working my way up the ladder. And I enjoyed it. I really did enjoy it. However, I lacked purpose big time in with what I did. I really was wanting to do heartfelt work that I could feel benefited people. So I was like very much feeling like a void where that would fill my life. And I also was just really burnt out. I had a lot of anxiety. I had a really high pressure job and I didn't have any tools to manage that at the time, but I thought this was just normal life, right? Everybody has anxiety. Everyone deals with this stuff. Like this is just normal. And when I came across the law of attraction and manifestation, I was blown away. I had no idea this world existed. I was like, okay, I can change my thoughts and then that will change my life. Like what? And it very quickly started changing so many things in my life, from my health to my friendships to my marriage. And then I started my business. So I started my business almost 4 years ago now. I started with a blog. At first, I wasn't selling anything. It really wasn't a business yet, but I started building an audience and very quickly decided I wanted to become a life coach. So that was the first thing that I did, was life coaching. I was a confidence coach, and then started taking on business clients who needed confidence for their businesses, and then started my podcast, Bare Naked Soul. So it's all just evolved. That's like where the story goes, is it's just, I allowed myself to pivot when it felt right and shift things around. And I got really into meditation very early on into my spiritual journey, and then discovered breath work. And that has been so profound for me, having breath work as a tool daily to be able to release repressed emotions and really center and ground myself so easily. And so it's in such an enjoyable way. So then I got certified as a breathwork facilitator. And then I got into doing in-person stuff. So I started going to yoga studios and hosting breathwork workshops and hosting retreats. And that kind of brings me to where I am now. So it just evolved. It was coaching, and then it was meditation classes, and then it was breathwork classes and retreats and all these things. And the business coaching has been a really important part of it too, because entrepreneurship is a wild ride. It is a roller coaster, and like being able to provide support and strategy for people has been so impactful.
Hey, freaking men. Entrepreneurship is such a wild ride. I love that. I feel like in the online world and social media, I've seen a lot of people and a lot of like corporate women switch into entrepreneurship and just dismantle the patriarchy and unlearn those habits of the corporate world. And it's so cool to see.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I also see, for me, like a lot of it carried right over. I carried the hustle mindset over. I carried being a workaholic over. It looked different, but it was like me feeling like I needed to show up on social media 24/7, every day, every weekend, right? Active. And yeah, I think there's another movement within it all where people are breaking away from some of these things like charging your worth. I just made a post about this, and I was talking about this on Instagram, but there's this whole idea that you need to really have a very high-end brand. It's like very pushed on you to have very expensive prices and invest in very expensive coaching as well, or else you're not successful. So I think we see a lot of things from the corporate patriarchy world carried into the coaching space, but then there's also some dismantling going on there, which is really cool to see.
It's like building these better boundaries in the entrepreneurial world that like aren't as widely accepted in corporate.
Yes.
That's so beautiful. How do you find that the breath work? You said you do every morning.
Yeah, I would say I do it 5 to 7 days a week. I'm just obsessed. So for me, breath work, so I started with meditation, right? And that was really like, meditation's hard. We are in such a fast paced society. It's to sit there and not do anything. Feels crazy to our bodies and our nervous systems. So I started with 3 minutes of meditation a day in the morning. And then I added like 3 minutes before bed, and slowly was able to grow that. But when I discovered breathwork, I realized this is the thing people should really learn first, because it's that tool where you're doing, it's like, for those who don't know what it is, it's an active meditation. You're breathing in specific patterns, and it shuts off the default mode network part of the brain, which is that chatterbox monkey mind that never shuts up, and allows you to get into a meditative state so much faster. Yeah, there's so many benefits of it, from health to mental health and spiritual. And yeah, that's one of my favorite things to do.
Ooh, I love that so much. I know a little bit about breath work. Like, I've done a couple like breath work sessions, but it's definitely not something that I've done recently or a habit that I have. But I think that's definitely like super important in this hustle. I like how you said monkey world.
Yeah.
It's like everyone is just go, 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 and everything's so quick, especially with TikTok and social media. It's like you have a 4 second attention span and that's it. So you have to like catch them and reel them in real quick. And it's, no, just slow down.
Yeah.
That's so fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to have such a hard time with slowing down. Like I used to feel, I remember going on vacation. I wrote about this in my book, but I went on vacation 1 year and I was in sales, and I came back. And I was talking to a coworker, and I was like, yeah, I can't relax on vacation. I feel like I should be doing something, but I like to be productive. And he was like agreeing with me. But we both thought this was like a good thing. Like, we're so like successful that we can't even relax on the beach, because we're so like, it's like, what?
I'm not like other girls. I can't slow my mind down.
Exactly. So I'm sad for that version of me who couldn't lay on the beach. And now I'm like, I could lay on the beach for days and not feel an ounce of guilt. It's just like, I don't know, we weren't made to constantly be doing and producing and measuring our worth based on those metrics.
Totally. I know we were talking a little bit before we hit record too, but like we just got hit with a blizzard and I'm like, man, if I could just be somewhere laying on a beach right now, that sounds like the dream.
Yes. Always the dream. The sun, like the sun is just like medicine.
Ugh, I am such a houseplant. All I need is water and the sun and I feel 100 times better.
Yes.
And breathwork. I feel like breathwork. I love that you talked about breathwork and you built it into your morning routine, like super slowly, like starting with 3 minutes. Like everybody has 3 minutes. I'm sure everyone wakes up like me. I wake up and I scroll for 15 minutes in the morning. And then I'm like, I have no time to do my self-care. I love that it started so slow and you built it up over time.
Yeah. And the thing with breathwork and meditation and many other things is we experience so much resistance. So we come up with things like, I don't have time. Right? We come up with all kinds of excuses about why we can't do it. And that's resistance. And it's really important to learn to recognize what that feels like in your body, because whenever something is new or requires us to do something a little bit different at all, we're going to experience resistance. And so until we learn to face that head on and sit with it and literally physically sit down and experience resistance, our mind saying, let's not do this. Let's not do this. Let's start Monday. I can't do it right now. I need this. I need that. I can't blah, blah, blah. Sitting and just experiencing that and letting it pass through you, like you become unstoppable, because then you can learn to do things that like involve facing your fears, because you realize your fears aren't actually hurting you most of the time. Our fears are just psychological, just what are people thinking, or mostly what are people thinking? Or with meditation and breath work, it's like the discomfort of being in stillness. So it's really cool to move through.
That's so interesting. I feel like that happens a lot, like the limiting beliefs and the imposter syndrome and the assumptions for other people. I have been like working through that a lot myself, of assuming and like overthinking and just like projecting these fears onto other people of, like, oh, but they're going to think this, or they're going to judge me for this. And it's like, why am I putting myself through that twice? Like, why am I assuming with these people that like have no, like one of the examples I had in a previous podcast is I recently shaved my head. As you can see, it's very short. This is 2 months of growth. And it was like terrifying when I first did it because of all the fear of what if people are going to hate it? And then I'm like, why am I dictating my life based on other people's projected fears? And it's crazy. Something I heard the other day, I was scrolling Instagram like you do. And one of the like life coaches that I follow, she shared that she doesn't have a vision board. She just makes it happen. And I was like, oh, that's crazy talk. You as a successful life coach can say that, but it's like, how many times have I woken up and been like, oh, I want to do breath work, or I want to meditate, I want to do yoga. And then was like, oh, I'll do it Monday, I'll do it next week. Or I'm very bad at doing like the, oh, it's 12:16, I missed the 15 minute mark. Like I'll do it at 12:30. And then I just keep like procrastinating and procrastinating.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really common thing. I used to do that all the time. And I remember this one time I had this story that I couldn't make myself like a healthy breakfast before I went to work. And I was working like 60 hours a week. It was a lot. It was a stressful job. But I was talking to my one sales rep the one day, and he was like very into health. And we were talking about it, and he was telling me how like my nutrition bars like weren't actually healthy and all this stuff. And I should be making smoothies. And I was like, I don't have time to make a smoothie and clean the blender. Like, I can't do that in the morning. Like, that's ridiculous. And he like looked me dead in the eye. He was like a brand new like employee on my team and was like, it's actually not, you can actually just do it. Like, you can just do it. And I was like, fuck, he's right. He's right. I can actually just put some ingredients in a blender and blend them up and pour it in a cup and wash the blender in what, 5 minutes? Like, but our mind makes it this big, huge deal. And it's just because it's something new. That's it. It's just because it's something new. And so it's so interesting to look back and see, that all these stories I told myself, like we all do the thing of what are people going to think? If I make this move, what are people going to think? And we all do that all the time. And we can decide to do things anyways. And we can decide to live a life where we put being grounded and feeling really good first. And when we do that, it's easier to notice when we start getting in negative thought cycles and overthinking, because it's like, wait, I was feeling really good and then I'm not. What happened? Oh, I'm overthinking about this. I'm worrying people are going to think about this. And we can catch it and be like, no, I don't want to feel that way. Nope, let's go back to feeling good. Let's take some deep breaths. Let's calm ourselves.
That's so good. That's so good. I feel like that's such a huge thing in the entrepreneurial world as well. Like, I'm a virtual assistant, so a lot of my job is like support based, and I will hype myself out for like weeks of this big task that I have to do. And so my client's waiting for it. I have to do that. Oh, I have to do that tonight. Oh, but now it's late, so I'll do it in the morning. And then I just keep procrastinating and procrastinating it. And then I end up like, I finally do it because deadlines. And then it literally takes 15 minutes. And I'm like, I've been psyching myself out for a full week for this task that was so simple and just, it's just easy. But I was psyching myself up so much for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember having a conversation with a friend about that. My first like couple years of entrepreneurship, I would have like just a couple things on the to-do list, but it was so overwhelming for some reason. It felt like everything on that list felt like it was going to take a really long time. And so something I started doing was I would write down next to the task how long it would actually take, because sometimes it would literally be 5 minutes, right? Or less. But in my mind, it was like, oh, I need to put this off because it's going to be so time. We just blow things up in our mind. We have to stop taking our thoughts so seriously. But that really helped me to put it in perspective and be like, okay. And I still have to remind myself, like, when I'm putting something off, I'm like, I could just take care of that. It really won't be that bad. And I feel like the more that we like push through that resistance, it just like trains our brain that like, yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
That's so good. I should start doing that, writing how long it would take next to tasks. So I feel like that's game changing, honestly.
I don't know where I found that tip, but it truly was game changing.
Damn. Yeah, I'll have to try that because a lot of my stuff is like repetitive stuff too. It's, you know, the weekly tasks, and it's, I've done this a million times. I don't know why I'm putting it off for so long.
Yeah. And it's also so good to, it just makes you think, holy shit, like my mind is blowing this up and making me think this is going to take an hour. So it just is a good also like visual way to be like, okay, the things my mind is telling me are not always true. They're not facts. And just because something feels overwhelming or scary doesn't mean it actually has to be.
Oh, what a good reframe. That's so good. I feel like that would also like, what's coming up for me too is like in the entrepreneur world, like if you're new to coaching or you're new to being an entrepreneur, you're new to the online world, it's just like, I didn't have a website for 2 years, I think, in business. And it was eating away at the back of me for 2 years, being like, oh, but you need a website. How are people going to know? How are they going to hire you? And it's, you don't need to follow like the same steps that everybody else takes, and you don't need to fit into this mold of the online world. So it's like, if you don't want a website, start your business without a website.
Yeah, that one's tough because it's just so ingrained in us, I feel, to just do what everyone else is doing and follow mm-hmm. the steps. If you follow the steps, if you get good grades and you go to college and then you get a good job and then you just follow these exact steps or you can't be happy and married by this age and blah, 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 blah. And yeah, it's all just not really true at all. Like I hired a coach last year who didn't have a website, and I was like, oh, she doesn't have a website, but okay. It didn't affect me hiring her or not.
You still found the links to hire her?
Yeah, on Instagram.
That's so good. I feel like that's like the whole premise of the podcast and like what we're trying to do here too. It's just like breaking that societal norm and the mold and just like living non-traditional and doing whatever you want.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been hard for me in my business with that. I feel like I'm always coming up against something where I'm like, oh, I should do this. Or she's doing it that way, I should be doing it that way. But for me, like my biggest check-in with my intuition is the word should. If I have the word should attached to something, it's not my intuition, right? It's what somebody else is, it's what I'm picking up that I should be doing. It's what somebody else would do or wants me to do or society norm or whatever. So that's like my big check-in is, okay, what do I feel like I should be doing? And what's my actual desire? And I feel like it's such a good way to tune in and be like, okay, if it's a should, then it's off the table. We're not doing it.
Ooh, I love that. I love that. Shoulds not be part of your vocabulary.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, where's the should or the shouldn't here? That's the thing I'm not going to do.
That's so interesting. In a previous episode, we had Susan, who's a human design like expert, come on. And she was talking a lot about your human design and how like your body based on your human design chart is programmed to function a different way than somebody else's. So it's like, you can't just one size fits all start a business following these exact steps and expect it to work out, because it's like everybody is so different. And I love that, forgetting the shoulds. That's so interesting. I feel like that's a good reminder for everyone to have like in the back of their mind. Like, even if you're not tuned into the intuitive side yet, or you don't really want to, it's like, if you said should, you know, what do you truly desire with that?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I love human design too. And it's such a good tool for, yeah, remembering that you are unique, and something that works for somebody else is not going to work for you necessarily. So yeah, it's all about figuring out our desires and what feels good to us and what lights us up, what gives us energy. That's going to be different than it is for other people, surely.
Totally. Do you have any tips for our listeners to like hone into that desire a little bit more, other than fucking the shoulds? That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good tip.
For me, it's all about journaling. Like, I'm obsessed with journaling, and it's just a great place to put your thoughts on paper. Because even just seeing your thoughts on paper, sometimes you're like, wait a second. No, I'm not going there again. We're not doing this, right? Or you're like, wait a second. I just wrote down how I'm feeling or thinking, and it's really not true. What's actually going on here? It's so good. And so I'm constantly in my journal asking myself, if I'm caught in between two things, trying to make a decision, where's the should or the shouldn't here? And then writing it out. And then also as a continual thing with journaling is just checking in with your desires, asking yourself, what do I really want? If anything was possible right now, what is it that I truly want? And just getting to those real deep desires, right? It's not like the fleeting desire to like lay on the couch because the yoga class sounds intimidating, right? That's like a fleeting desire. But probably the core desire is the yoga class, which is why you keep thinking about it and why you want to go, right? So it's like getting to those core desires, to me, that's your intuition, that's your soul. Right. And so we're allowed to follow those. Those are safe to follow and to believe in and to do. But so much of our life has been about following other people and asking people for advice, and like asking your parents and asking permission to go to the bathroom in school and looking up to authority figures. It's like we're anything but taught to look at our own instinct. Yeah, that's probably my best thing, is journaling.
Ooh, I love that so much. That's another thing that I need to like hone back into, is journaling. Cause I always notice like my mind is just so chaotic, and then I'll journal and I'll feel better about it. And then I won't journal for the longest time. Cause I don't have an hour to sit down and journal. So no, you can go and write one sentence.
Yes.
And it'll help.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Most of my journaling is like 5 minutes at a time, maybe 10. I also have a journal. It's called Heal Your Shit Journal.
I have the link in the show notes. Tell us more about that right now.
Yeah. So yeah, journaling has been my thing. So I created a journal that's full of prompts, because something people are always reaching out and saying is, okay, Leah, I hear you saying you should journal, but what are like about what and how do I start? So it walks you through specific prompts for letting go of limiting beliefs and really tuning into your intuition and yeah, recognizing your desire and moving through fear. So all that kind of stuff. It's like a whole bunch of prompts, and it's like in a sequence.
Ooh, I love that. I feel like I always hear journal prompts, write about this on like podcasts and stuff. And I've been guilty of it, where I've given journal prompts in a podcast, and then as soon as the recording is done, I will forget all about it. I'll be like, ooh, that's a really good thing to journal about. And then it's just gone. So I love the idea of having it in the book already.
Yeah, it's a great place for people who are new to journaling, because after a while, you know what, you don't really like need prompts after a while. It's almost like with yoga. Like when you're learning yoga, you need a video or an instructor, but then after a while, you know the moves and you can just follow your own sequence and your own flow. But for people who are really starting out, it's important to have some type of idea of where to start, because otherwise your mind will be so resistant to it. And your mind will just say, but I don't know what to write over and over until you stop, because it doesn't want you doing anything new at all.
That's so true. I don't know what I should write. That was just like an epiphany moment for me. If I will watch a YouTube video to do a yoga sequence, but when I get to a journal, I'll just like word vomit, which like is therapeutic and it's great sometimes, but also it's like not what I need sometimes. Whoa.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, I do need some prompts.
Yeah, they're so good. And there's a time and a place for both, like the word vomiting journaling, just free writing, letting it out, letting out whatever's on your mind. That's great. but like prompts can be more for specific things and also can be what challenges you to look at things that like otherwise you won't, because your mind once again doesn't want to go there. So it's like the prompts that like really help you go deeper.
Ooh, I'm just like mind blown right now. I'm like, damn, I need this book that we will have linked in the show notes.
I know. Don't you love those moments when you're like, oh, yes, that's the thing I've been. Yeah.
I've had so many epiphany moments on the podcast here and I love it. Like, yeah. It's so good. It's, oh, wow, that makes sense. This is why I do what I do. It's not about the listener. It's about like my own transformation. That's so interesting. One of the things that I really like to do when I'm feeling like not cute or like imposter syndrome too, is I'll write like a love letter to myself in my journal, and I'll be like, it'll be the cheesiest like 18th century love letter. And it's like, dearest Carly, your eyes shine like the sun. Like I'll just get so cheesy with it. And it's so fun.
Oh my gosh. I love that. That's
it's
amazing.
So fun. I highly recommend.
Yes, that's so good.
Just like I've seen so many love letters, and like my partner has never written me a love letter. I've never had a partner write me one, but I'm like, man, I don't need no man. I can do it myself.
Yeah. I think that's like also an important thing is obviously like it's great when your partner recognizes what you need and fulfills some of those needs for you, but we can't expect our partner to read our mind and do every single thing. So can we give some of it to ourselves? And for me, like my love language is physical touch and words of affirmation, and physical touch is definitely fulfilled by my husband primarily, but and some words of affirmation, but I also have learned to validate myself with words. Because it's so easy to just want someone else to validate you. And we don't need that. Because also, have you noticed that like when someone else validates you, gives you a compliment, tells you whatever, we half the time we don't even believe it.
Really?
What do we want? It's like we have to learn to validate ourselves.
That's so good. Validating yourselves. I feel like that's like the best thing to feel authentic too. Because it's like letting your authentic side show and just like feeling into who you are. And I've definitely guilty of that too, of wanting compliments and words of affirmation from my partner and then being like, no, you're saying the wrong thing, say this, and then it feels like inauthentic. So I'm like, I had to tell you what to say.
Exactly. Yeah. And sure, like it's letting our partners know what we need is great. I think it's important to say, what am I really after here? What do I really need? Can I give that to myself? How can I give that to myself? So yeah, there's so many good things rolled up into this conversation, but the love letter can serve many purposes, I feel.
Self-love is the best love, faux show. That's so good. This is such a fun conversation. I love it so much.
Yeah. Another thing I love to do is like a future self letter. So it'll be like myself 6 months down the road writing to me today saying, you will not believe how great everything worked out. It all worked out perfectly. And this happened, like all the things I'm manifesting happened. And it feels really good. And it's like sending yourself that, again, that validation, that confirmation, and flooding yourself with those good feelings.
I got chills when you said that. That's so fun. Kind of like an active manifestation of, this is what happened. This is how we did it. That's so fun.
Yeah. And it's all about the feelings, right? All of manifestation is just becoming a vibrational match. So it's whatever can make you feel the way that you believe you'll feel when your manifestations come to fruition. And so anything that feels good, breath work, meditation, love letter, future self letter, journaling, whatever it is, yoga, anything that makes you feel that way is going to be the thing that's going to work for you.
Ooh, I'm more curious for myself other than listeners. Do you have any like tips or tricks or like guides to get into breath work? Like for someone who's a complete newbie?
Yeah, I do have the Breath Portal, which is my online membership site. So with breath work, there are some like precautions depending on different ailments that people have and different conditions. So it is good to have some sort of guidance to learn the techniques. So I have the Breath Portal, which is, yeah, it's like a library online of breathwork and meditation videos. And there is a 7-day free trial.
Ooh, that's so fun. We'll definitely have that linked in the show notes. I've done breathwork sessions and I feel like it's very, I don't know, it's just like this new feeling that anything is possible.
Yes, it feels really good. Just lightens your load. Like it just lightens your energetic load.
Mm-hmm. I love getting into the spiritual and like the woo kind of side of things. Like I know breath work isn't super woo, but it's woo.
Yeah, totally.
It's against the norm. And that means it's woo.
Yeah, it is definitely not the norm. It's coming around, it's definitely growing in popularity, even just in the past couple of years since I've been actively facilitating. It's really, I feel like when I first started talking about breathwork, people were like, what's that? And now people are slow. A lot of people don't ask that question anymore, which is fascinating. So it's really growing. And I feel like all things woo are growing. Do you feel like that too? Or are we just in a bubble of the stuff we're interested in?
That's so true. I feel like it's a little bit of both. Like, I feel like I'm definitely like I'm very much one of those people who will become the 7 people that I'm surrounded by or become the people I'm with. Like, I went to Bali earlier this year with my partner and my best friend, which was amazing. And like, I have not read in like, I don't read very often, which is probably bad of me. Like, I need to replace my scrolling with reading because I'm a little bit of an addict to social media. But like, I haven't read like a full book since like high school, which was like 8 years ago. And then I went to Bali with my best friend and she's like an avid like book a day reader. And I read 7 books while I was gone. So I definitely become the people I'm surrounded by. And right now I'm surrounded by like the woo spiritual babes on social media. And I'm a fan of it.
Yeah. I think we all like that is a thing. Like you do become the people you spend time with. And that's human nature. And we all do that. And it's so important to take a look at that circle and be like, okay, what am I giving and what am I getting? Honestly.
Totally. I feel like as I'm growing into my woo side and my like intuition side too, I'm like noticing it more. Cause before I'd just be like, ooh, I feel good today. And it's, I wonder why. And it's, oh, cause I've hung out with my friends that are good influences on me. Yeah. And now I'm like picking and choosing what I want from each people. And it's great.
Yeah. So how did you, I don't know if I'm supposed to ask you this, but I'm curious, how did you like, how and when did you discover spirituality and like the woo side?
Ooh, good question. Flipping the tables, interviewing me. I've always seen like the witchy side of things. Cause like growing up, my mom like identifies as a witch. So she's always had like, she had a spell book growing up and she'd always do like cute little, we'd have the candles everywhere and the witches and the, she really likes skulls. So it was like Halloween every day at my house. It was great. So like I got a sense of it through that. And then growing up, I would do like yoga every once in a while and like go to classes and like ease into it that way. And then I think it was mainly when I got like into entrepreneurship, it was like surrounding myself with the super woo people and doing, I have a lot of people that I know that do tea tapping videos and meditations. And I have one client right now who's like a hypnotherapist. So it's just, as I'm getting deeper and deeper into entrepreneurship, I'm like getting deeper and deeper into the woo side. Cause I talked about this in another episode, like my niche is like creative entrepreneurs and I've made my way. Like I wasn't a corporate girl. Like I kind of like worked minimum wage jobs and then I found virtual assisting and like dove into that kind of thing. But as I'm trial and erroring my way through entrepreneurship, I've noticed that I like relate and I sympathize more with the creative entrepreneurs who aren't like, I love systems. I love all that good stuff, but I'm also, I love the fluidity and like the freedom kind of thing. So I've leaned into that side of entrepreneurship more.
Yeah. I feel like that's definitely a big how it happened for me too, because I guess it's because you need personal development for entrepreneurship. And so there's a lot of entrepreneurs that aren't into the spiritual side, but they're definitely into personal development. But then if you get really into personal development, it blends into the spiritual stuff, like with meditation and breath work and all of that. So yeah, I definitely felt the same. Like when I first was in entrepreneurship, I wasn't super into the woo, but then the people that I was following were, and I was like, oh, and I was listening to the podcast like this one. Yeah, it's so interesting how it like all leads us there.
Totally. I also had a client who was like big and she's a big like manifestation coach. So I was led by that for a while too. And I feel like I've definitely leaned more into it sometimes and like less into it. Like now I'm not like, I want to lean back in, but now I'm like not super spiritual. And I notice it too. Like my mind is really chaotic. I just moved like last week. So I'm like, I need to yoga. I need to journal. I just need to like take a moment for myself and like recenter kind of thing. So yeah, I kind of pick and choose.
Yeah. And I feel like we all have times when we fall off the bandwagon with it. And it's the hardest, I feel like, to get back on and get back into it and get back into like the morning routine and stuff. But it makes such a difference. Like it's just crazy. Like when I do my morning breathwork and meditation and yoga, I just feel so good.
Totally. That's so good. Yeah. Since the move, I haven't journaled since I moved, just because like it snuck up on us, even though we knew it was one of those procrastination things of I'll pack later. And then all of a sudden it was like, we move tomorrow. So it was like, everything just kind of got shoved in boxes and moved. And so I actually am like just finishing unpacking now. And I found my journal again. And I was like, ooh, I'm coming back for you.
Yay. Yes. Open her back up.
Yes. So good. I'm very curious what your like unpopular opinion is around, could be like breath work, manifestation, social media, like anything we've talked about.
Yeah. I'm gonna circle back around to what I was saying with the idea of charging your worth that a lot of coaches talk about, and the idea that the way to success is to triple your rates and constantly need to raise your rates and make more money all the time or you're not successful. Like, fuck all that. You can charge whatever you feels aligned for you. And that may not be a super high-end rate. And that might be just the price that's going to feel good to you and the people who are following you. So yeah, too much of following the shoulds, right? And a little more of the, what do I really feel like charging? And also, yeah, what do I feel like investing in myself? Because it doesn't have to be anything crazy for me to be successful either.
Ooh, I love that. That's so good. I feel like I've seen so many influencers and so many like of these coaches online being like, I invested in like multiple six figures in a coach this year. And that's good for you, but that's not something I would do at this point in my business and my life.
Yeah. And it's a lot of, oh, like just put it on a credit card. And it's no, I don't have to do that. Thank you though.
Yes. That doesn't define my money mindset. If I don't put a coach on a credit card, that just means I'm being smart.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like some of the coaches in the industry are like beautiful and amazing and I love them so much, but I feel like the other side of it too, like such a spectrum. I feel like some people are coming at it from like shame of, oh, you can't afford my coaching, put it on a credit card. And so I don't need to be shamed into personal development.
Yeah. It's toxic and it's very much, oh, my coach taught me this, so I'm going to do it that way. And I'm just going to keep this cycle going of, it's the whole thing.
I feel like it's shame, like the shame in the industry too. If I can only hire a coach who charges more than me or who makes more money than me. And I feel like that's another thing too. Like you can hire anybody you want. It's not like a pyramid where, oh, I can only hire those above me.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just a way for people to justify their prices. And yeah, it's like our worth is so much more than what we charge and what we invest in ourselves and our businesses. So that's attaching our worth to it.
So true. This has been such an amazing conversation. It's been so good to get to know you.
Yeah, this has been so fun.
Yeah, thank you so much. Something we always do in our episodes is we ask for a permission slip. So I'm going to give you the little heads up right now. I'm going to ask for a permission slip because Jill on our solo episodes with the two of us would just lay it on. Like I knew it was coming, but you'd just be like, what's your permission slip? And I would get caught off guard every time. So this is my stalling for you to think of yours. So my permission slip this week is to slow down. So it's something I want to do. Just like back in my head, procrastination is like, I need to slow down. So this is my permission slip to slow down, break out my journal again, and just like word vomit into it. And I really want to invite breath work into my practice. Like just start with some breath work.
Yes.
That sounds amazing. Thank you. What does your permission slip say this week?
Yeah. So for myself, my permission slip is, it's just going to be fuck the should. It's going to be dig into what are the shoulds I'm following right now? What am I doing right now out of an obligation or shame or something someone else makes me feel like I need to do? And fuck all that. What do I really want?
Permission to fuck the shoulds. I love it. That's so good. Thank you so much for this. Can you tell us a little bit more? Tell our listeners where they can find you online.
Absolutely. So on Instagram, I'm at It's Leah Party. And my podcast is Bare Naked Soul. Those are the two best places to find me.
Amazing. And how do we get your book? How do we get your journal? Give us all the links. Are they like Amazon?
Yes, they're on Amazon, or you can go to leahparty.com and there's a books tab and they're both on there.
Amazing. We'll have that all linked in the show notes so you can find it super quick. And thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was great.
This was so fun. If you want to learn more about Leah, follow her on Instagram. While you're there, follow us on Instagram at wildly.balanced. super fun over there. And check out our website if you want to be a guest. If you're a creative entrepreneur, we'd love to interview you. It'd be so fun. There's an application on our website at wildlybouncepodcast.com. Thanks so much.